podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, this is Emil Heskey, and you're listening to the guys of Coppin Fracas.
The longest wait, a generation on and more, for the 19th time in their history, for the first time in the Premier League.
Hello everybody and welcome to this week's episode of Coppin Fracas, brought to you by the fantastic people over at Social Media Group. I'm your host Chris. This week I'm joined by Peter and Glam. We'll hear from those two fantastic guys in a second, but I am absolutely delighted to say that the return of the Premier League season means the return of fantastic live events. And if you've not seen it already on Twitter and buzzing all across socials, TLF Live is back, baby, on September 4th, 2022. Well, of course it's going to be 2022. If it was 2023, that'd be weird. So we partnered with the fantastic team over at Belushi's, Jim's Lad, in London Bridge to bring you an epic day out from 1:30 to 8 p.m. featuring watch-alongs on 8 fantastic screens, so big, so wide, of West Ham versus Chelsea and United versus Arsenal, the Wash Derby. It is the crown jewel of a Goldberg versus Undertaker, that game at the moment. It is terrible, but you can't look away because it's just heritage and you simply have to watch it. And of course, after the fact, there will be one of our world-renowned live shows featuring top personalities from across the entire Touchline Media family. Early tickets are available this week for this week only. So act now and click the link underneath the announcement for this podcast and in the podcast description to secure your ticket at the early bird rate today. Of course, on this pod, I'm joined by Peter and Glam, the fantastic Glam, the amazing Peter. Gentlemen, how are you doing as we come off a, people have been playing the game down, the glorified friendly, the pre-season warm-up. But silverware is silverware. You can dine off that silverware if you chose to, because it just looked like a massive plate. How are we all feeling?
Yeah, mate. I did say someone asked me last week. I did say I want to win it. I think on a pod as well, me and you. I said I
think it might be me.
Yeah, it was you. To be fair, it was just me and you here. But I wanted to win it just to make a small statement. It's a glorified friendly, but at the same time, it's the first game pretty much of the season every year, and you want to be involved, you want to see a team, and you want to see what it's about. So, and to beat up City, you know, what better way can you do it, man? You know what I mean? With their full strength team as well. So, yeah, good.
Exactly, man. I mean, I think we played that game, like, what? Twice, 2 years in a row, didn't win it. And it's like, okay, it's a bit crap. I mean, the Arsenal game, we were pretty diabolical. The one from the year before, it was like, well, okay, fair enough. But yeah, it's just a nice little bit of intent kind of coming back and winning this one.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. It was just one of them games where it's just like, you just want to see like the team's up to speed and that no one's rusty and we're all good. But yeah, I'm happy to be on a pod. I know last week, Chris was calling me out last week. He was talking a bit spicy. On my name, so I had to come up, show. You know, it's like they call it the icon versus the icon. You know, we got the leader of the new generation and me. You know, I've been holding it down where Chris has been on, I don't know, vacation or holiday. And Chris has now come back and he's like, hold on a minute, I'm still the big dog. So, yeah, we got leader of the new generation, leader of the old generation, and button heads. And yeah, let's see.
Listen, man, there was a last man standing match this weekend and there can only be one. But if you listen very closely in this pod, you can hear the ratings popping up because two icons and a true OG of the pod are spearheading things this week. And of course, if you want to hear more from us, I can't believe I didn't plug the Patreon earlier. This is the place to be. We've got so much stuff coming over the next few weeks as we obviously preview to the lead up to the campaign, the first few weeks of this season. £3 per month, man. I mean, I don't know a better deal. You know, inflation going up, cost of living's going up. But the one thing that remains the same and doesn't increase in price is the Touchline, the Kop en Fracas Patreon page. So head over to www.patreon.com/KopenFracas and subscribe today for some of the best content available on the web. Before we do kick off talking about the Community Shield, we were treated to some really nice news today. One of the prime examples of Liverpool's recruitment policy at work is Diogo Jota. And Diogo Jota has now signed a 5-year contract extension until 2027, committing his long-term future to Liverpool. I'm really happy with this because, like I was just saying, it's a real personification of if you come to Liverpool, you know, your first contract, it's not the best, but if you put in the work, you grind, you hit the ground running, and you consistently keep evolving your game, the rewards are absolutely endless. And Glam, I'm going to start with you. I know you're a big fan of Jota. How are you feeling about the contract extension? And how much are you looking forward to seeing how much more he can evolve his game in these next 5 years?
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. And to be honest, the news threw me off because, like you said, it wasn't one that's obviously his deal was running out. He only came, what, 2 seasons ago? But yeah, it's testament, obviously, to how well he's done. That's what it is, exactly what it is, what you said, is like you get a contract. Had he not been doing so well, that contract would have never have come. He would have still been on his current pay. But he, as you said, the club reward you for when you make outstanding contributions to the team. And that's what he's done. He's come in, hit the ground running, which most of the signings do, to be fair. You know, he scored important goals in big games. He's been an option from the left to the right to the centre. And I just think he's everything that, you know what I mean, Liverpool want to build. And he has surprised a few. I'll say probably me included. How really good he is, you know. Obviously, he's got other aspects he can work on. He's only 23, 24, still young, full international. Do you know what I mean? Best Portuguese player out there, let's be honest.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
Man, it's exciting news, man. When you think of players that we've got available now, you've got Jota signed up. Your future's bright, man. Future's bright, mate.
I mean, look at the GA, the combined GA just from his 2 seasons. And, you have to factor in that there has to be some injuries kind of in there as well.
Yeah.
24 goals, 4 assists, all of them kind of non-penalty goals as well. It's an incredible rate. And, if you look at the per 90, it's a goal or assist every, 0.7. So it is incredibly impressive, kind of the way he's, settled in. And I remember, I think we all saw that one weird Wolves tweet where it's like, can't believe we've got like 40 million quid for Jota, but an absolute steal. And that has come back to bite them in the arse because, Diogo Jota is one player that could absolutely kind of propel Wolves to that next level, which is really interesting.
Definitely. And I think with him as well, as you say, his goal is GA. He's come off the bench and scored a lot. I remember the Arsenal game, he affected it differently as well. But yeah, he's a great player to have. I just, one, not criticism, but yeah, if we can keep him injury-free, because obviously the challenges on him, they do come ferocious. I don't think he's quite built in a way, obviously, like a Mane or a Salah are. If we can get that from him, then yeah, I'm happy because I think when Jota's in a squad, he gives a different dimension, different option. And let's not forget, he's good in the air. He is good in the air, man.
Yeah, he's lethal in the air, man.
You know what I mean? So yeah, nah, man, all happy all around, mate.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Graham. And I see why you said unheralded, Chris, because I think it's a funny one with Jota because. When he first came, everyone obviously had the impact. Obviously, scored against Arsenal, scored against a couple of teams, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, look at Jota, look at his impact, look at this fantastic new player." And he was like the new shiny toy that he had. And then when Diaz came along, we shoved Jota to the side and was like, "Oh no, Jota's not that good. It's Diaz now. It's Diaz. Diaz is the player." And we've got a new shiny toy in Nunes as well. And it's like, but when Jota first came, everyone loved him. Everyone thought he was the guy. And this new contract is like just a new signal to that. We want to build around him, and we obviously see him as one of our future front threes, future attackers on our front three. And yeah, it's just again another signal to how well he's done in this team, the impact that he's had. And like the thing I love about Jota is that he's just a certified shooter, left foot, right foot, header, back of the net, doesn't matter. If he's scruffy, doesn't matter. And he wants to score goals and he's hungry to score goals. You know what I'm saying? And you can never have enough of those type of people in your team. I mean, last year, Like, and like you said, he was injured for a part of it. He was probably, I would say, the last half of the season. I don't think he was really fit for most of it, especially from like...
Yeah, you could really tell he tried to rush back for the old Carabao Cup final, where he had a really good kind of integral role, kind of firing us to that. And I think that really kind of just derailed his last part of the campaign.
To be fair, we played him right wing. We played him right wing against, I think, like a couple of teams. You play him like left wing, playing him up front. We was literally playing him all over the place. He didn't have like one set position. And yeah, I say all this to say that the only people that outscored him from other teams were Ronaldo, Son, Kane. Only those three players. And the whole of the Premier League outscored Jota last season. I think he got like 15 goals. And he wasn't starting every single game, was he? He wasn't. So, again, it just shows the potential that he has and someone that we should really celebrate and that we have in our team. And we shouldn't really take it for granted because a lot of people, goals is not common. You know what I'm saying? Goals doesn't grow on trees and we have a certified shooter here. So, yeah, I'm definitely happy for Jota to have a new contract and, yeah, let him get rewarded. And I was just going to ask, what do you guys think he's wages have gone to? So probably I would say probably from like 80 to like 120, 130 or something like that.
Ooh, that is an interesting one, you know, because I don't
like 80 to like 140 or 80 to like 130, just from what I would think Liverpool would probably give him. No, but I think more than like 150 probably.
Yeah, I'll say about maybe 140. I wouldn't begrudge if they gave him 150, but probably 140 with bonus. Yeah, I would say that. Because it's a 5-year contract, and obviously you've got to think of him at the end of the day, how good he's been, how good he can be. I don't think his team would have been, okay, you're on 80 now, we'll take 120. Like, because it's a long contract, isn't it? He doesn't have to sign it. So I think it's beneficial for him where both parties win. So yeah, I'll probably say about 140, 150.
I think it helps as well that obviously Liverpool have got a really good kind of working relationship with Jorge Mendes too. So it kind of represents a fair few players at the club, Fabinho being one of them. So that definitely kind of helps things out to a degree. But yeah, I think 140, 150, you said, Glam, for the duration of that contract, it makes a lot of sense.
It does. Especially if we've got other players. No digs. Obviously, my guy Ox on 120. Milner's on a decent one as well. So
he took a pay cut, took a pay cut to start growing the beard, you know. He couldn't afford shaving gel.
as work colleagues, if we're seeing that and we're like, we're potential, and you see someone else is not as gifted or skilled as you, and you'll think you're gonna look the eye and say, well, they're getting that, so we wouldn't insult him by that. So 150 would probably be the right amount.
It's interesting too, because I think what did Darwin come in on? Because it's not massive wages.
I think 90 as well.
90 or 100, I think.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
It is,
because it's more the transfer fee, not the wages. I remember the wages not being too hefty.
But that's true at Liverpool, because most other clubs, like, you know, the Sancho of the world, they sign for a fee, but then they get like 250, 300. And those, like, Werner went for what, 220? He's now probably on his way back to RB Leipzig again.
Ridiculous, like, isn't it?
That's the massive. I think, I mean, we're not adverse to complaining when Liverpool don't make a specific move. I got there in the end. Just because we want the team to do well. We want to consistently keep winning stuff. We want to be consistently challenging for stuff on all fronts. Before people kind of, you know, get in the mentions saying, ah, you're not proper fans and all that shit. Well, to be honest with you, you can go fuck yourself if you don't want to listen to us talk about stuff. But when you see those wages kind of getting bandied about, the Werner one is absolutely criminal, man, because he's on like 260, 270 a week, and now you can't shift him at all.
Yeah, this is it. This is it, mate. And this is why I'm like, oh, they chose that club over Liverpool. No, it's not that. Like, it's the wages, what they're going to offer. We're never going to be paying. We'll be paying that for a backup. We wouldn't be doing that. We don't do that business like that. And that's what I love about us. We stick to our guns and how we conduct ourselves in negotiations. Yeah, the fees may be high, but we give wages that are realistic and within our structure that don't upset the harmony of the squad. I love it.
And it's like, okay, let's say you give this, like, let's say you buy a Central, you buy a Haaland, and you give them 250. Like, what's the motivation to, like, what's the motivation to, like, be the best? Because they're already on that wage, you know what I'm saying? So the next wage that... So Haaland's come in at Man City, and I don't know, maybe he's getting, like, 250 or 300K. Like, what's his next contract? 350? Bloody hell. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, but what's Haaland's next contract going to be? 500? 400? You know what I'm saying?
Hasn't he got that weird clause in where he can go, basically, kind of just go to Real Madrid if he wants to? It's like a similar thing.
I think he's got a release clause. A release clause comes inactive, I think, next year or something like that, or 2 years' time.
He's got a release clause going to City.
He's got a release clause in his contract. Like, not to a specific team, but he's just got a release clause in his contract that comes.
He's got a release clause at City.
That's why I was so confused that they agreed to that when that came out. And it's like, you want to kind of keep consistently. And obviously, they want to keep consistently building the City brand and kind of get that global appeal. But I mean, it seems a bit of a gamble.
You know what I mean?
For City's part, where they always, I mean, we're seeing it at the moment of like, they are that 50 Cent meme even more than us. You know, the kind of, you know, the putting up in the smart car and, you know, the underfitted suit, thinking, oh, we haven't got this money, but bro, we know you've got like a shit ton of money in the bank. Yeah. But yeah, they're so kind of like risk averse and stuff like that. It really surprised me.
I mean, I think maybe they might think it from a point of angle that if he's like obviously doing so well, whatever, he might not want to leave, and like he might be happy in the club. And if he does want to leave, then you know what I'm saying, then see you later. But I don't know. Obviously, it's definitely a risk. But yeah, just to go back on the Jota point, it's just nice that, like you said, that we are able to kind of reward players for their good good form at the club. And like, he's like a product of like, okay, let's say if Fabio Cavallo now or Harvey Elliott, if you do as well as like Salah now, or you do as well as Jota, you will get a new contract and you will be rewarded. Whereas in the past, it wasn't that so. It was like, yeah, you might do well, but we can't have enough to pay you. You might have to sell you to Barcelona or Real Madrid. You know what I'm saying? So, but these young boys now, they're at the club. They know that they can get paid as among the best players in the world if they perform to that level.
It's the big thing. The big thing for me about Jota as well is that positional versatility. So, I mean, even now, I probably couldn't tell you where. I mean, I think we have this conversation a fair bit. I couldn't tell you where his best position long term is. And obviously, it's interesting with the introduction, obviously, Nunes now, where he can play on the left in certain aspects. But I'm really interested to see those two. And actually, that's where it's a real shame that he's been injured for pretty much all this preseason. I'm really interested to see how they kind of link up on the pitch, how they can kind of
change
over in these positions.
You want to see Nunes link up?
If it means 30% pass completion before goals, I'm with it, you know.
I don't know, the ball might not even get to each other. I don't like, I think you want to pair them with a Diaz or Firmino.
It's not that scrappy, mate.
I'm joking. I'm playing. I'm not that kind of a technical snob, but I'm just playing.
But it's giving me a chance to see where he's, you know, kind of like he's where he ends up long term with that versatility. And like you said, I mean, aerially he's absolutely ridiculous as well. He's kind of got pretty much nearly every goal in his locker. And yeah, man, kind of feels like a bit of a not a fresh start for him, but another kind of like a point to kind of kick on and drive his Liverpool career to the next level, really.
Yeah, for sure. I think he got some unfair criticism towards the back of him last season. And I think it's another sign of the club just showing their faith in him and saying that he's the future for us.
He went a little barren run, didn't he? But
yeah,
we're not worried about that. Obviously, we've got goals everywhere. For a personal view from himself, obviously, it will be game. But as I said, the injuries, and I think he's got a clean slate preseason apart from build up to this one. I'm not sure how long he's out now, but yeah, we haven't got a rush him back. So let's just get him fit as possible, man. It's a big, long season, man. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Strutty stuff, man.
Yeah, man. He needs to get fit, back on the pitch as soon as possible because, I mean, he's got an absolute belter of a song too. So it's pretty fun one to sing. So looking forward to him getting back on the pitch as soon as possible. Let's switch gears. I gave you the Birdman one earlier. That's fine. to be fair though, I was like singing. Well, I was waiting for a meeting earlier at work today. A little bit of an insight to how boring my work life is. So I was just waiting for this like Teams meeting to start, and I was like singing it then. And I'm pretty sure someone caught me singing it, so that was funny. But yeah, let's switch gears. Talk about the Community Shield. Liverpool 3, Manchester City 1. Peter, I'll start off with you. Obviously, you did the world-renowned, award-winning Cop and Fracas post-match podcast at the weekend with Mr. Fahy.
Fahy, you got any words for him, Chris?
Well, that guy knows not to speak too much on my name because... First of all, I'm surprised that the man in this group are giving him money for a fantasy league where it's cash up front. You don't know what's going on with that money. You don't know where that money's going. So, I mean...
Well, he said he's a crook.
I'm not going to comment on those things, but He's absolutely a crook. I'm only playing, or am I? obviously, you did the post-match pod. If you do want to listen to that, subscribe to the Patreon page today. What were your kind of initial thoughts coming away from the game? The big one for me was kind of how quick we started and how we kind of like stopped. Let me just get your point on this. How we kind of started to funnel City's attacks through the middle by pushing kind of Grealish and Mahrez a little bit more inside. Pause.
Sorry. So I think the main thing for me, like I was thinking, but on that Saturday, I was at home and I was just thinking before this game, like, what do I really want to see? And I really wanted to see just this Liverpool team kind of functioning on the same kind of levels that we were last season and just playing to a high level again. Just making sure that everything's okay. Like, you know, when you go, like, I don't know, to check up on your car and just make sure everything's working, like, the same. You know what I'm saying? Everything's, like, so were our players looking fit? Was defence looking compact? Was midfield working? Was our attackers looking sharp? And everything, it was all the same. You know what I'm saying? We looked sharp and we looked fitter than Man City. And obviously we would because... yeah, like, obviously, we were further along in our preseason than them. I know they've only had two games, and Pep obviously loves to do this thing where he doesn't like to have a lot of preseason games for them because he feels like they don't want to have, like, a fixture pile up at the beginning of the season or whatever. So we were obviously fitter than them and sharper than them, and obviously it showed in the game. And, like, we started, like, a house on fire. Like, literally, the first 20 minutes, I think I said on the post-match pod, I think Salah must have rinsed Cancelo about two or three times in just the first 20 minutes alone.
Oh, but that's... There was a cooking going on. There was a barbecue going on that pitch.
Left hand side, I was just getting popped about. And yeah, we looked sharp. Trent looked sharp. And yeah, our midfield as well. That game, that's how I want Fabinho to be looking in all the big games. Like, I think last season we saw Fabinho kind of struggle sometimes in the big games because it felt like he was like an island alone. And obviously, players were kind of far from him. But I think Fabinho that game, he was sharp into the tackles. He was harrying Bernardo Silva, harrying the Brenner. Obviously, the Brenner might have got past him one or two times, but Fabinho just looked like himself again. And obviously, Thiago as well. Thiago just, unreal. He just looks like a step above, doesn't he?
It's so good. I mean, and I think the way that Fabinho was so comfortable, because we're playing in that double pivot for a lot of the time, and he just brought that extra kind of blanket of security. But Thiago defensively, I thought, was absolutely unbelievable. Kind of operating on that side.
Everything. Yeah, like, that the midfield was working how it wanted to work. I wanted to work. Henderson, he was on the ball. Oh, my God, he was so frustrating. Jesus Christ. But off the ball, he was
I tweeted the volleys were somehow prevailing. He was actually getting in some like decent chances with the volleys.
Well, the first half, I agree with you.
We can't defeat this evil. But this is the thing with Henderson, though. Like, I mean, I like your analogy there of basically having a 10-point MOT check for the team kind of going into the season. So he's like, everything's fine, but you might want to, like, you know, keep an eye on your right center midfielder. It's looking a little you might want to replace that in the next kind of few months kind of thing. It's not got the same drive as it used to. And you can see
it's not quite the same, you know, but
it's not quite the same. You know, I don't know if you got the manufacturer warranty for that one, but you might want to get checked. I mean, you can see how he's really effective, and then it gets to around about 60 minutes and he's just not got the legs for it anymore, which is a massive shame because you see how he performs in the first half. And yeah, it's not to the level as what you expect from Thiago on the opposite side, but he gets the job done. And when Harvey Elliott comes on, that lease of energy and that burst of energy to kind of help progress the attacks really just rejuvenizes that right-hand side. So it's one of the things where you can kind of see, I mean, I'm not going to say that Hendo's...
You can see where we can upgrade on, but like, he's still an effective player for us and he's still a valuable player for us. But yeah, also, I don't want to touch on all the points because I'll leave some of the points to Glenn. But my main takeaways from that match is not that, like, I'm not coming there to say we're better than City now. We just beat them in the Community Shield, blah, blah, blah. It's not that. It's just to see that our team is working. It's working how it should be and that we played well. We look sharp for the season that we're ready for. The game coming, so yeah, that's one of my main takeaways from the game. But yeah, I'll leave the rest of the points to Glenn.
Thanks, mate. Very kind of you. thank you for me. But no, obviously, yeah, you probably covered the main points of Saturday. I was really impressed with the intensity as well, but also the fact, like, let's be honest, man, like, we had Adrian in goal. Now, Adrian. is
one of, I was waiting for this.
unorthodox keepers that you just worry every time the ball comes near you. I mean, he makes a good save that year, but then he makes saves sometimes, and it's, yeah, it was just one of them ones. And I was hoping, yeah, as long as Adjoa don't do anything silly, which he attempted to do a few times with his passing. Other than that, besides that, yeah, I was really impressed with the team, man. I think the substitution for once, I'm always on Klopp substitutions, but that Nunes substitution, he came on at the right moment and he just caused them problems. Like, you know what I mean? Obviously, Bobby's not really a in behind sort of play. He's a link up play, technically good. So he held up his own well. But when we changed to that dimension, they couldn't handle it. I know he had the offside one when he's offside and you see it coming. I mean, even before the build up, even the commentary I was talking about, yeah, nah, he's just been a handful. And you could just see it coming. He was just making a nuisance of himself. And I was like, yeah, this guy is going to score today. I messaged one of the other pod guys. Hello, Anton. that being on him. And I said, this guy is going to be net, 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 net. That's all I said. And he said to me, his words, I quote, "We don't need you to vouch for him because we can't take your vouching." Yeah, cool. What happens 10 minutes later? Slaps in a goal and no one could say anything. And you know what it is? I'm happy for Nunes because, and I can see his reaction. People say he's over the top, it's a community shield, but you got to think about it. Those little digs on the memes and stuff, yeah, they will be getting to you naturally, innit? Regardless of how much a person you are, it will annoy you. And I think his reaction, shirt off, they're saying, no, acting like he's won the league. I think it's due to the fact, at the end of the day, what are you lot saying now? Everyone's talking about Haaland, what you lot saying now. So I'm happy for him in that aspect at all. But yeah, brilliant. I wanted to win it. I think City, yeah, they had two games, but City just couldn't live with us, to be honest with you. Let's be honest with you. Did anyone see when Nunes gave Walker a running?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He let him go.
He gave him a run. Walker was blowing, absolute blowing. And then Salah just killed Cancelo. I think at one point, Cancelo was like looking at the touchline like, Pep, I thought it was going to be 45 minutes for me today. that's how he looked. He looked shattered. Do you know what I mean? And obviously, the midfield boys, yeah, Thiago, listen, again, you know, you guys know me, I hold my hands up. I'm one of his main critics, but levels above everybody else on that pitch. And as Chris said, he's defending. He won a ball back. I remember he won the ball back on a far line and no one could get off it. It was by Robertson's side.
Yeah.
Won it back, held onto it in a short space where you have hardly anywhere to even vision a pass. He got out of it. I'm like, fuck, you know. Oh my God.
Did you guys see the video of him doing like the home workout where it was like a weird kind of ball control thing? I was like, no wonder this guy is getting injured when he's like training at home. I was like,
is it crazy?
He's not like a bounce ball doing shuttle moves and then like quickly tapping the ball back to like his personal trainer or something. It's very impressive, but at the same time, I'm absolutely terrified.
I can imagine. And I'm not a warm-up person, but every time I see Sky Clear, when I go to a game, watch Thiago, his warm-ups, I'll watch. If you watch him warm up, his technique is so stupid and effortless. He's like watching someone else at the same time he kicks the ball off. His warm-ups are wicked. You got to watch him. Any listener that ain't watched Thiago warm-up, I'm telling you, it's a sight to see, man. He's superb. Technically, yeah, I can't say nothing bad about him right now, man. Long continue.
Yeah.
Proper elegant footballer, man.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the ways that we now have this kind of way of playing City, and is that we like to have them press us on one side, right? So have all their players come to press us on one side, and we do this kind of lovely big switch to the other side. So when we do the switch to the other side, we'll maybe like, I don't know, cross it in, or we'll do a pullback and then we score from that. And we've seen it a lot of times. I said it on a post-match pod as well. I think, so the first time I saw it was when, I think it was the game at Etihad when Sane and Aguero scored those goals. And it was like, I think it was Trent done a switch to Robertson, and then Robertson crossed it in, and Firmino obviously tapped in that goal. And then the same thing happened at Etihad this season when I think it was Thiago that switched it to Trent, and then Trent crossed it for Jota to score. And then again this season, it's something I think Klopp and Pep Linden's obviously been working on. And it's just that, obviously, when we obviously play these switches, I think City's wingers tend to switch off. So you have like Mahrez and Grealish, and they don't get back in time, and it's just
they're not going to track back.
But then you're able to kind of have like two or three players on one side, and then you're able to kind of profit from that. So yeah, it's just a nice tactic that that I've seen Klopp and Pep kind of implement when we play City.
Well, yeah, I think just to add on that as well, I just think now where they don't have Jesus and Sterling, I'm far more happier what they got coming off the bench. Because I don't think Grealish won't take on the wide players that are fullbacks as Sterling would. Jesus is a nuisance. If you think of Jesus, he gets goals against us because he's a good player. Mm-hmm. He's got good movement. They don't have that no more in their arsenal. And I think it's going to come and bite them come end the season. I really do.
It's not penetration, right, isn't it? So there's no players that like to run in behind.
It's different.
Me and Shamaris are both players that like the ball to feet, isn't it? They like the ball.
They're gonna retain the ball. They're gonna try and drive it in.
That's where I think
if they lost Bernardo, it'd be even more of a killer.
They can't bring that forward a little bit more.
If they lose, I mean, me personally, sell him. But for them, they need to keep all possible costs. It was interesting though; like the game did change a little bit more into their favour, and obviously you'd expect it to.
When Alvarez and Foden came on,
exactly, just because of fitness levels. Foden was okay, but I think that Alvarez guy just looked, it's just a threat.
Do you know what? It's just a threat of both of those players coming behind, and Alvarez was more so. Alvarez obviously kind of quick. Glam's been one of Alvarez's big supporters. He's vouched for him, but yeah, Alvarez was able to kind of run it behind and have that constant threat. And even you saw for their goal, it was kind of like a cross, and then Foden was able to kind of make that run, and then Foden obviously tapped to Adrian flump done to the ball, and then they tapped it in. But yeah, it's that threat in behind. Glenn, you know about Alvarez, isn't it?
I've watched him minimal times. I'm gonna say a lot, but when I see his clips of the goals, there's not many people that slap goals in Argentina and are not very technically good. I just got a feeling this boy, people looked at him and kind of obviously shun away, but you know, I think he might.
What do you think that is?
Yeah, that's the only thing. As I said, because obviously I think with Argentinian football, it's one of those where if they're not overly
hyped,
then it's not a thing. But Alvarez has been on the radar a lot of the times. Obviously, you know, I play Championship Manager and everything else. And I've obviously...
Football Manager, not even Championship Manager,
man. Yeah. All right, mate. None of the adverts. We're not advertising there, bro.
It's true. And if the lovely people from Sports Interactive would like to advertise, please get in touch.
Do you know what I mean? But same as obviously, when I see a player, I always go look them up. Just like with Vic Osimhen and Nunes as well. Like, I look them up. But the same with Alvarez. I get nothing but good feedback to give about it, the guy. And, you know, I think he could be a goal scorer. And I just think with the determination, people have overlooked him because his Haaland's come. But he might surprise one or two.
It'd be interesting, man. I think he's gonna be one of those names where you look at your fancy team kind of post World Cup and you're there thinking, Alvarez, like what, 6.5, 7 million?
Could
bang him in. But he's a threat.
I think we're in the league, I'm just saying that. Disclaimer.
We will discuss the main man, Liverpool's number 27, after this commercial messages. We're back. Darwin Nunes comes off the bench, kind of we alluded to it a little bit earlier on, and was causing absolute mayhem. Obviously, he probably wins the penalty if he's not that tiny bit offside. Clear-cut penalty for me. I've seen them given so many times against us. I'd like to think they'd be given for us. Mm-hmm. He absolutely cannons that one shot over on Edison's face, where I'm pretty sure...
Can I stop? You see the penalty, yeah. The penalty is actually really good work originally from him because...
I agree.
Yeah, like, and people are telling me that he's clumsy and he's this and he's not good technically, but...
He just really his feet work. Really well, yeah.
That's really good work for a number nine. Like, someone, I don't know who fires it into him, you guys might remember, but someone fires it into him and he has a great touch, has it out of his feet and then...
Robertson, I think.
Yeah, someone, I don't know who it is, but maybe Robertson, and he kind of lays it off to Salah And as soon as he lays it off to Salah, he doesn't admire his pass. He runs and literally runs straight to the box and is hungry for that goal. And obviously Salah puts it on his head, two pence on his head. And obviously that's when he wins the penalty. But yeah, it's just great hold-up play and great link-up play from Nunes. And this is the person that everyone said that, oh, no, you know, he's clumsy, he's messy, he's not good, he's horrid technically. You know what I'm saying? Look at him. Look at him.
Hey, man, listen, if you head over to YouTube and type in Darwin Nunez scouting report, Kop and Fracas, you can hear me and Ellis telling you all the good things about Darwin Nunez and how he has actually got some decent link-up play and he's pretty good technically. So, you know, a little bit of a pat on the back. Little pat on the back there for me and Ellis. So do give that a little bit of a watch if you've got some spare time. And the key point for me, and glad I'll come to you, is that consistent threat. It's hard for me to not believe that this guy will not get goals in Liverpool shirt, considering how much, first of all, how much we create. And like you alluded to earlier on, those really clever runs, those direct runs, him being more of a threat in from behind, as opposed to Firmino, who kind of plays a lot in that midfield third.
Yeah, no, 100%. And as I'm saying, it'd be net for this guy, because you're in a team that creates chances. There's not many people that come into the forward line and won't score goals. It'd just be a fair share, but what we've been looking for, what I think all Liverpool fans have been screaming out for, the natural, a number nine, sort of central striker, hold-up play, you know what I mean? Physically strong as well. And that many people don't know. You've got to remember, these pro players won't know much about him. So when someone comes new in the league as well, they only learn about someone through the course of the season. Now, with this guy, he will be surprising people in terms of, yeah, people bash his, oh yeah, it's tough. I've seen the memes, I've seen the clips. Listen, I could find many of other people. It kind of works in our favour because people may be thinking, oh yeah, it's not all about him. But let me tell you now, on Saturday, people stood up. There's so much backtracking that people made comments about. There's so much, oh yeah, no, I didn't say he won't score a goal. I just said he won't score as much in general. But people stood up and he made a presence. He made his presence felt. His runs. I was like, I was impressed. I was impressed. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna lie. I was impressed with his impact coming into the game in an English game as well. Yeah, Chris, man, I got nothing but admiration and praise for the guy. I actually like the guy. He's one of my favorite players already. That's like,
wow.
One of my favorite players already.
That's big praise. You know how? For the listeners, if you're new listeners, if you're old listeners, you already know. If you're a new listener, you won't know how hard it is to win instant praise from Glam. It took me 4 years of cultivating a good relationship with Glam on the pod to get some really good compliments. And this guy Nunes, yeah, comes in, same haircut, everything. And he's also actually getting this praise. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, I guess I need to get my XG up. That's fair enough. I'm just quickly going to go through the stats. I mean, obviously, it's a small sample size, but, you know, his pass accuracy was 100%, which is absolutely hilarious. He wins the penalty for Salah. Two of his four shots were on target, 50% strike rate, if you can do basic math. Obviously, he scores the one goal. His XG is 0.6, which, you know, in terms of clear-cut chances, that's very good. And he has three big chances. I mean, it's just a really, really good performance, and it just accentuates every single thing that you like you alluded to, Glam, that Liverpool wanted from a number nine, and I think I'm really going to thrive with as we kind of put this next generation, this next evolution of the front three together. Peter, yeah. How are you thinking that's going to work then with the array of attacking options we've got? I mean, obviously, we kind of alluded to Jota, a little bit of a Jota Nunez partnership. But I think the main person, obviously, will benefit is going to be Mohamed Salah. How do you think this new kind of evolution of the front three is going to benefit Darwin Nunez and Liverpool in the long term?
I think it's going to benefit Liverpool because for many years, we obviously played with like Firmino up front. We played with a false nine. Yeah, you know I'm saying? Someone who wants to kind of jump into midfield and kind of create overloads like in midfield. But this now we've got a traditional, I would say a more traditional number nine, a proper number nine who just wants to like score goals, doesn't really care about kind of linking, like kind of, you know, I'm saying dropping deep to help them field and blah, blah, blah. So now you have someone who actually wants to occupy the 6 yard box. And if you see a Liverpool, we don't actually have many players that just want to occupy the 6 yard box. Like when when Mane and Salah got their goals, they're normally running from outside to in, or they're normally trying to cut in from their right-hand side or left-hand side and kind of slap a goal, you know what I'm saying? Or they're running from their kind of wing to kind of maybe get on a header or something like that. But now you have a striker who just wants to be inside that six-yard box. So if anything drops in that box, he's there. And there's loads of chances for that, you know what I'm saying? Especially with the way Trent and Robertson play when they cross
the
field.
Trent wasn't even on the pitch when he came on.
Yeah. That's mad still. Yeah, because Milner came on with him, innit?
Milner came on, man, with a beard, yeah, the grizzled veteran.
And obviously, like we saw with Robertson, Nunez's goal comes from obviously Robertson pulling it back for him. So again, we have a traditional number nine who is going to eat so many goals from that. But yeah, it's just, yeah, I'm happy to have another person who, like you said, like is just hungry for goals and just wants to get goals. So yeah, and I don't know, I'm going to go on a bit of tangent here, but it was just like the thing about me on Saturday. Was that like, okay, cool. Like, it was kind of like the Haaland versus Nunez thing. And it was like, okay, everyone's saying that Haaland is this complete striker who's great at everything, who has fantastic link-up play, who can score all of these goals. And Nunez is going to be the one that struggles. Nunez is going to be the one that has horrid technical play. Nunez is the one that can't pass his teammates, blah, blah, blah. Does, like, these weird step-overs, has caterpillars as his bloody football boots or whatever, as they were saying. But like,
even Tim's on caterpillars.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But then you saw on Sunday, and I don't have any beef with Haaland. It's just that, like, Haaland is not this complete striker. He's literally 22, 23 years old. The only complete strikers in the world are literally like Benzema, Lewandowski. Haaland has stuff to work on in his game. You know what I'm saying? You saw it. Literally, he was couldn't get no change from Van Dijk. Van Dijk had Haaland in his pocket the whole game. And it's... Yeah, he has. Haaland has stuff to work on the same way Nunez has stuff to work on. And I feel like people kind of overstated Haaland's link-up play and downplayed Nunez's link-up play. And you saw on Sunday, they're both just decent at it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think both are amazing technically. I don't think both are horrible technically. They're both just decent technically. But the main thing for them is that they want to get their goals. And they get their goals through smart movement, through being a nuisance. And, you know what I'm saying? On Sunday, it was Nunez's day. But like, let's not try and downplay Nunez because Haaland's at City and Haaland's meant to be this, like, I don't know, complete striker, mm-hmm. but he's not. They both have stuff to work on and they're both going to be good strikers and they're both going to get goals. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I don't like the way people are talking down on Nunez's name, and hopefully Sunday was kind of like a signal to them, you know what I'm saying, to show that Nunez is here to stay and Nunez is going to get a lot of goals in this Liverpool team. I mean, we're a team that creates loads of chances. Like, if you really think that Nunez is not going to get any goals in this team, then you're stupid. You're very stupid. You know what I'm saying? And all of our attackers get goals. Even Firmino will get double figures at least. So, yeah, it's just that for me was just stupid.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think when you look, it's just about with the Haaland Nunez thing, it's the fact of you've got to take consideration, Liverpool not the most liked team. So people are going to naturally hate. They don't want us to do well. Because they said it about Van Dijk as well, his price tag. Yeah. But the difference is, you know, the Haaland was slapping in Austria, cool. Haaland was slapping in Germany. You know what I mean? When I hear Nunez in Portugal, I'm not being funny. But, you know what I mean? Rhys Nelson has gone to German league and scored goals, you know?
the man raises good points.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not... Let's not discredit one and then credit the other. Like, end of the day, Haaland, yeah, and Haaland done it in Champions League. Nunez done it in the Champions League. So, do you know what I mean? This is where some people's contradiction doesn't even make sense, but I just leave them to it. It's all about he's a Liverpool guy. Liverpool have got him. And they're rather hate on him than rather City. That's all it is, bro. But you made valid points. Like, they both need to improve. They're both of a similar age. Do you know what I mean? They're both very, very good young strikers. So, you're valid, Pete.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's that weird weight of expectation that we put on, obviously, young players to be the finished article from such an early point in their career when, you know, I mean, they've all got stuff to work on. You know, I think the only person you probably say is close to the finished thing is probably Mbappe. I mean, I look at Trent. I think Trent's pretty much almost a complete player, but he's still got stuff he needs to work on. Yeah. They've all got stuff that they need to work on. It'd be absolutely crazy to think that someone is the finished article, 23, 24. So yeah, man, I'm going to be really interested to see how they both kind of develop. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think, you know, there was a little bit of me the kind of thinking, watching Haaland, looking at him, thinking, yeah, you're not going up against the Bundesliga centre backs anymore. Yes, Liverpool play with a high line, but when you're coming up against two phenomenal, and they were phenomenal at the weekend, I thought, Virgil and Matip, when you're getting, you know, bodied by two good guys like that, it's going to be long for you, man. And yeah, the centre backs in our league, in this league, they're a lot more physical.
He's not playing against Van Dijk every week, though, to be fair to him.
I'm going to find it really interesting how he goes up against, I don't know.
Tim Ream?
he should be eating against. Think about Palace, though. How is he going to go up against, like, Gay and guys like that? I'm just, like, really interested. Like,
They're going to want to impress. And the worst thing about it, Haaland had two chances that he should have scored, and he didn't.
Yeah.
But then these are the same memes that are going on about Nunes. Oh, he missed from there. And I don't hear a word of it at all. Do you know what I mean? But
everyone makes chances.
If I didn't watch football before and you told me, oh, go and watch that game on Saturday, and I'm looking at Bob, I'm looking at saying, yeah, that guy Nunes, that guy must be the top striker out of the two that people are talking about. Do you know what I mean? That's what I would say to you, watching the both of them. And that guy Nunes came on, 62, 63 minutes, 67, whatever it was. The other guy started the whole 90 minutes. That's what I would say. You know what I mean?
I do think both will do well, but it's just the fact that you just don't listen to these like agendas and these people that talk on Twitter and they talk on social media about this is the player and that's the person rubbish. But like let's see in real life, you know what I'm saying? Let's see in real life actually what happens. But yeah, another point I wanted to kind of touch on, I don't know, before we move off this was the subs. The subs are really good. And obviously Glenn mentioned
that. I was going to be my next point, so that's a fantastic segue.
Yeah, like, I think, okay, so I'll touch on Cavalier. I think Cavalier was like, he was great when he came on. I think people didn't realise the Nunes goal. He was the one that pressed, I don't know, he pressed someone, he won the ball back, he gave it to Keita, then Keita gave it back to him, and Cavalier was really composed and then gave it to Salah, and obviously Salah gave that crossing. But yeah, it was like a fresh injection, Cavalier, to that game. You saw that his composure on the ball, you saw him, he's able to press, and yeah, I just feel like some really good cameos from Elliot as well, Milner, but yeah.
Agree.
Carvalho's movement, I think, is the most surprising thing for me. You know, we're kind of like talking about, you know, players' development. To have that at such a young age is really impressive. And I initially thought he'd probably come in, not play that many games. I think he'll play more games than we think. Just for the simple fact that it's five subs now, which will definitely help. It'll help him a lot. I think it'll help Elliot a lot. I think Elliot will probably start more games just for the dependencies on that right hand side. But no, man. Yeah, I think every single one of those subs were pretty spot on. They all helped change the course of the game. They brought the right amount of energy we needed too. So it's really encouraging seeing how we're going to use those and utilize that five subs going into the rest of the season. Well, going into the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like you said, Henderson, obviously, his legs are declining. So it's helpful to have someone like Elliot you can bring on, who, when people are tired, you know what I'm saying, you have someone who's as sharp as Elliot is. I saw him winning the ball back on the edge of our box against Man City, and I was so surprised I saw Elliot winning the ball back. But yeah.
I want him starting.
He's incisive. I think at some point in the season, probably we'll get to that stage when he's able to start. But he's incisive passing. He's able to kind of go past players when people are tired. And yeah, he looked really sharp. And Milner, to be fair to him as well, Milner came on and looked good as well. That's all we can't beat.
I don't mind Milner in a right back position. I can't lie.
We cannot replace him.
But yeah, now the substitutions, you're both right. The substitutions were good subs, and it's good to see Carvalho. And it's just nice to see a mixture. Like, we got young, fresh, talented players, and we got experience. It's a joy to watch, man. It's a joy to watch. I can't lie. I'm looking forward to the Fulham game on Saturday. I know Chris can't touch it, but I'm looking forward to that one.
Last thing before we do head over to the Fulham game, just do a quick preview of that. It's fantastic to see Salah in that form this early in the season, looking like the Salah that we, you know, came to love, and which is absolutely kind of in love with for the beginning of last season. The pace was there. The playmaking bag is just ridiculous at this point. Some of the, you know, kind of starter balls he's playing, and then, you know, the way he can drive in. It's looking like it's going to be another fantastic season for him going forward, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, for sure. This is normal for Salah. And he always starts the season sharp. Like, this is normal. Like, every season, he always comes with a point to prove that I want to be better than last season. I want to be the player of the year this season. And then he just always starts sharp. And I think when he's playing like this, he's definitely, like, for me, maybe other than Kevin De Bruyne, he's, like, the best player in the Premier League, because everything he's doing is, like, gold. Like, he's either, you know what I'm saying, getting past his fullback, getting a shot off, or he's putting on the plate for someone. Like you said, his playmaking bag is really underrated. Like, people aren't, like, I don't think people appreciate how much, like, he's able to kind of create chances for other players. Like, you saw last season, I think he got double figures in assists in the Premier League. I think he got, like, 11 or 12 assists in the Premier League. So, yeah, I can't wait for his start to the season. He's going to be my captain on fantasy football team, definitely, for the start of the season.
Well, yeah, nah, Mo, I love him again. Can't lie.
Oh, really?
He's my guy again. When I was telling Chris last week, I was so out of touch everything going on in my personal life. I didn't realize you signed a new deal. I had to double check and ask somebody.
I swear.
Yeah, I missed it completely.
Oh, like, yeah.
I had to message my mate. I signed a new deal with Liverpool. Like, yeah. I was like, what? From then, me and him are good again, man. There's no more uncertainty. No more that, like, dragging through the mug. It's just football. Listen, he's my guy again.
You guys got a toxic relationship, you and Salah.
Yeah, nah, it's gone now, bro. Possibly it's gone. Even if he makes a mistake, I won't be like, how I am with him before, you see a different new side of me. He's on my side again, man. Because I want to just sign a deal, settle down, get your football. Now, you can just see him now. He ain't got to worry about that. He knows he's at Liverpool. Play your football, bro. Play your football, man. And that's what I like to see. And I think everyone, it's a good feel factor at Liverpool now, man. Everyone's signing. People that want to be there are there. People that have gone, they've gone. Like, nah, man, I mean, Klopp signed a new deal. There's a real vibrancy about it. And obviously, Salah was just unreal on Saturday. It's not even the fact of his he had to score or anything like that. His whole gameplay, his whole link-up play, his hold-up play, his in-behind running at players, mate, with red boots. Hey, listen, he was on stuff, but Bold my guy again. Far, he'd be happy to hear. I mush.
I love to hear it, man. See, this positivity from Glam, it's infectious, you know. It's got me ready for Saturday, 12:30. Bring it on, you know. So let's get stuck into it. First game of the season could be comedy. I don't think it will be. I mean, Palace, Arsenal, that always kind of jukes up a few decent surprise results there. Obviously, 12:30 kickoff, which I'm quite surprised at, away at Fulham. Does have the hallmarks of a little bit of a tricky fixture, recently promoted team. But from what we saw on Saturday, you've got to be really confident going into it. Obviously, Fulham, I don't particularly know that much about Fulham. I won't, you know, be one to admit that I'm, you know, Fulham curious, etc. But I just saw that they've brought Bernd Leno from Arsenal, so that's a bit of an interesting signing for them to go in goal. But apart from that, they've not really made that many waves in terms of the transfer market. It's more their outgoings that are more interested than their incomings. I mean, Jean-Michel Chery has gone to Hull, which is flop. Weird. Massive flop. I remember when people wanted us to sign him. That's a bullet dodged. Guisa, I know Yaki's a big fan. Napoli on a permanent deal. And you got guys like, you know, Cyrus Christie, Alfie Mawson, leaving on freeze. So it's just a...
To be fair, a lot of them were on loan last season. So I know Guisa was on loan last season. I think Christie might have been on loan last season. So, yeah.
The Mawson one's really interesting because that guy was...
At Swansea, he's been at Swansea, right?
Yeah, he was a lot of money, if I remember rightly. He's like 20 million quid, something like that.
He was highly rated, man.
Yeah. We obviously know about their manager, Silva, who's obviously the ex Everton manager. And obviously, he obviously likes to play kind of attractive football. To be fair to him, he does like to play attractive football. And he does like to play this kind of like passing, attacking football. So I think last season, they obviously played with like Kai Wilson, Mitrovic, Cavallio, and they had like quite an attacking team. But obviously now they've lost Cavallio. It'd be interesting to see how they kind of fill that void because he was obviously one of their brightest sparks in their team. And obviously, Cavallio.
No, Cavallio. I mean, I'm thinking of the other guy, Cavalli. There's another guy. There's a winger there.
Caviero.
That's it. Caviero. That's it.
But yeah, and obviously Mitrovic obviously had broke the record in the Championship last season, but struggles to do anything in the Premier League. So
let's play Mitrovic Premier League bingo. What are we thinking he's gonna score?
He gets six goals. He gets like six or seven goals. Didn't he get like 40 something goals in the Championship last season or something
like that? It was stupid.
He always batters the championship. When he comes up, the guy can't.
Small time bully, man. Small time bully.
This guy scored 43 goals in 44 appearances. Taking the absolute piss. So that means he's scoring 8 goals in the league next season.
Yeah. five of them will be pennies as well.
Yeah, probably.
I do like their left back, Anthony Robertson, though. I think Robertson's a good player. American player.
Yeah, is he the guy that was at Everton?
Yeah.
Originally, yeah. They got some like interesting players when you kind of look at it. Like Adebore,
Tosin. Tosin, yeah.
Tosin, there we go. I've always rated him quite a lot.
Gamble know Kevin and Babu. FM right back.
Yeah.
He's gone to Fulham as well.
But ultimately,
from Wolfsburg, yeah.
Yeah.
Leno's a good signing, but yeah, we should have two.
To be fair, they've got some good signings. Leno and Babu and Joao Pelino, they're quite good signings, to be fair. Mm. But yeah, it's obviously, they've still got like the kind of things that kind of, they've still got like Kenny the Tim Reeves of the world. Yeah, just them type of players. Obviously, I know they got Chabela. I think Chabela's their captain. I'm not sure, but yeah. But yeah, it's nothing to worry about. Again, people like Tim Ream, you just want to see Nunes up against that type of player. You want to see Salah giving Robertson a tough time. Kenny Tete, if he plays against Diaz, good luck to him. But yeah, like nothing to really worry about. Yeah, for sure.
And right he's now, always, I think it's the thing for me, it's always like the unknown. Well, not, it's kind of is an unknown quantity. You know, when they lose kind of a lot of their initial threat in Carvalho, which really comes into your own team for this season, you don't particularly know how they're going to kind of set up and operate. But I mean, how many years in a row now have we played a recently promoted team? Obviously, it's always mainly at Anfield, but we always seem to kind of like, you know, just the class always shines through, basically. It seems to be always the top level championship teams that we do play. So it'll definitely be an interesting game. How do you guys see us set it out in terms of front three? Because I think it's going to be an interesting battle to see, obviously, who starts up front. I think it'll be Diaz and Salah on the opposite sides. And obviously, the other question is just in the midfield, really. So, what are you guys thinking in terms of potential starting 11s? And, you know, touch wood, Alisson is back for the game as well, which he reportedly is.
Yeah. I'll say the same. Alisson and goal with the same back line as they had done on Saturday. Likely to be the same midfield three as well. I don't know if he will start Harvey Elliott instead of Henderson, but probably not. And then I think it'll be the same front three as well. That'll start Firmino, Diaz, and Salah.
I agree.
I don't think Nunes will be plunging like that. We don't do it that way. And plus, you know, it's not a banana skin at the same time. First game of the season. Let's just go with what we've got. You know what I mean? Bending Nunes. I'd be surprised if he starts. But yeah, I'll go with the same team Saturday with Alisson. Personally, for me, I would swap Henderson for Elliot. I would let Elliot go against his old boys. Go on, mate. You go impress. And I think he would, but probably won't be that case.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with Glam. I think it'll probably be the same team. I think, obviously, yeah, Firmino will start. To be fair, Firmino did look kind of sharp, to be fair. It looked like the old kind of Firmino of, like, returning the ball, popping up in different areas, helping, obviously, on midfield. And he looked sharp, to be fair to him. So, yeah, probably the same team, definitely. Do you know what? I was surprised that Matip did start ahead of Konate in that Community Shield, you know. Was you guys?
Yeah, I was thinking Konate would be the one, I'll be honest. Because at the end of the season, I think, obviously, going forward, obviously, it'd be Van Dijk and Konate. But after the game, I'm glad he went with Matip, because Matip, he's just something else, mate. I don't care who starts like the whole four, but when you got Matip and Vardy and he play like that, mate, long it may continue, man. Let the two young boys sit on the bench, and then when you're ready, you get your games. But yeah, Matip, he's so assured.
It's confidence, man. He's just the stature he kind of plays with on the pitch is just you like to see it. Just quite quickly looking for Fulham's team news, like kind of like early team news. So apparently, Shalabur is a doubt, and they're definitely without Joe Bryan and Harry Wilson, which is interesting. And Babu may get the start ahead of Kenny Tete at right back after he played against Villarreal. They're expecting Palhinha and Andreas Pereira, formerly of Manchester United, to start. And they play with a... They play 4-2-3-1, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's an interesting formation to go up against us when you think about it as well.
Yeah, that's Silver, isn't it? Silver is an attacking coach. If they go toe-to-toe, then yeah, we'll win.
See you later.
I do remember, obviously, a few of their previous visits to Craven Cottage. Under Parker, they did give us a bit of a surprise. Oh,
fucking hell. That lockdown game we were playing.
But yeah, we could put it down to no fans. Saturday, I'll just start of the season. I just want to win. I'm not going to be greedy and say I want to slap in. But listen, you know what I mean? Build on the City, I want to win.
That Fulham team, it's a different team though. So like the reason why I gave it problems is because that Fulham team was more direct and they were a lot quicker. So you remember then they had Lookman, they had Bobby Reed, and they had Josh Fraser.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you had Fraser, Reed, and Lookman. That's literally a front three that love to play on a counter attack all day. You know what I'm saying? But now you bring in like Mitrovic. Mitrovic can't run in behind. He's not quicker than Van Dijk or Matip or Konate or whoever you want to. Wilson's not fast. I know Wilson's not going to play, but he's not pretty quick. Cabano's not pretty quick. So, and Reed is the only one. So, yeah, this team obviously is a different team. And, like, Mitrovic really shouldn't really get any change from our centre backs, really.
No.
All I really remember from that game that we played against them was they brought on some, like, massive fella, pause, and he was out of breath within, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, that's the game at Craven Cottage.
Yeah. Was it Kamara? That guy.
Yeah.
That guy was fucking... He came on 5 minutes later. He was goosed. I was like, Jesus, what's going on? Heartbreaking to see they got rid of probably one of the worst players I've ever seen, Dennis Adoy. You know, we wish him well, wherever he is at the moment. But yeah, I mean, quick early score prediction. I'm going to go for a little 2-0. What are you guys thinking?
I'll go 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1. I'm gonna go with Pete as well. 3-1. It's gonna come either they go 1-0 up or it's gonna be with 1-1. It's gonna be one of them sort of Saturday afternoons. I can see it. I can just see it, but we win in the end. Yeah, I'm gonna say 3 or 4-1.
The Saturday midday kickoff. Old Craven Cottage hopefully probably will be bouncing, but the Reds will persevere. For more, obviously, in-depth analysis on the preview for this game and, of course, the post-match pod, the award-winning, the world-renowned post-match pod, head over to the Patreon page and subscribe from just £3 a month today. That is www.patreon.com/copnfracas. Really good pod. I'm really happy with how that went. Any parting notes for the listeners before we head off?
Just that I'm number one. Thank you.
Number one at what? Losing the listeners. Okay, fair enough.
Numero uno.
The only thing I would say, Liverpool winning the league. Remember, I said it. It won't be a tight title race to the end, but we're winning the league. Absolutely winning the league this season.
I absolutely love the confidence. I also think we're going to prevail in the league this season. I think if there's one thing that forces Liverpool team to do better and push on, it is heartbreak. Hopefully it can excel them to another league title. And the best place to have all that coverage for this upcoming season is here at Kop & Fracas. So thank you very much for tuning in to all of our coverage during this kind of weird off-season, pre-season. Massive congrats to the England women's team for winning the Euros, bringing it home.
Well done.
We'd have also done the same if Saka put the ball in the back of the net, but yeah, can't all be heroes, can we? Before we do leave, did you see the video of Arsenal replicating the maligned Anfield atmosphere and then get slapped up? Was it 4-0?
Yeah. Did you see it, man?
No, I didn't see it, man.
Basically, like they're also training. They're about to play us at Anfield. You know the game at Anfield. And Arteta was like teacher's assistant and whatever. Like, let's have speakers on the training ground and let's blast out You Never Walk Alone so that, like, they have the feel of Anfield. Like, he said, like, when he was at Anfield, there was one time where he kind of, like, just got absolutely blammed and, like, all he saw was, like, red shirts and yeah, people screaming at him, and like he just had a nightmare. So he wants to kind of replicate that at their training ground, and then yeah, they end up getting blown 4-0. And there's that what he wanted to stop actually happened, because I remember that game at Anfield. Arsenal were actually playing quite well in that first half, and like they were competing with us. And then I think on the touchline, Klopp and Arteta had this little spat. You remember, like, Arteta went at Klopp.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the ground just got amped, and then we just started popping them. So
what we did to them in that second half was disgusting, man. In terms of kind of counter pressing, I'm pretty sure that Ben White is still picking the grass out of his teeth from how Jota sat him on his ass. So yeah, man. I'm looking forward to watching that that Arsenal series. It should be it's probably not in the comedy of not in the category of comedy, but I mean it'll be a funny watch to for everyone involved. But yeah, that has been the episode of Cop and Fracas for this week. Season kicks off this weekend. You know where the best coverage is. You know where the best LFC podcasters are week in, week out. Well, most part week in, week out. We can't all be me and Peter at the end of the day, can we? But yeah, you know where the best podcasting is. Thank you for tuning in. Stay safe, and we'll see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.